through the Bible, I felt led this week to refer to the topic of water baptism in relation to the symbolism which is found in Joshua chapter 3. And this is the story of Israel's crossing over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And the Old Testament, as always, provides us with a foreshadow of what we find written in the New Testament under the New Covenant. So let's just commit this teaching to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your precious word, which reveals truth. Thank you for ongoing wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. And thank you for your word, which reveals truth. I ask you, Lord, to anoint this word, to bring fruit through this word. And Lord, we just bind every evil force of darkness which would try and interfere with this word. Thank you, Lord, that your word will produce fruit. It will not return void. It will accomplish that for which it was sent, and it will prosper, and it will bring transformation and much needed discipleship, Lord, wherever the need might be necessary to be met. Right, I'm going to be I just wanted to mention, first of all, that if you are listening to this audio and you have already been baptized, please don't say, I've done that, I've got the t-shirt, but rather allow this teaching to be an aid in the discipleship of others. Jesus, or Yeshua, in Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, which is known as the Great Commission, where he was commissioning his disciples to go out, he said, go and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 souls were added to the early church that day. So we can see there that water baptism is a requirement. It is a command given in the New Testament. And we are going to be looking today at going back into the Old Testament, just having a look at the symbolism which can be found in this marvelous story of Israel when they crossed over the Jordan River. And I also just want to mention here that with regard to the word baptize in the Greek, it is actually the word baptizo, and it literally means to be fully wet. So we are not referring to the sprinkling of a person. That is totally unscriptural. There is no place in the Bible which talks about sprinkling. It only talks about full water immersion. There is no such thing as infant baptism at all. There are portions of the Bible which refer to dedication of babies, but in no way, there is no place in the Bible that actually refers to infant baptism. Baptism, the word baptism, as I mentioned just now, is the word baptizo, and it means to be fully immersed in water. In other words, if you were to baptize a person, if a person is going to be baptized, they are actually put under the water. And we're going to look at the symbolism of this today from this portion of scripture, as I mentioned, in Joshua chapter 3. Let's read from verses 1 to 17. Joshua got up early in the morning. Then he and all the children of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they spent the night there before they crossed the river. And it happened at the end of 3 days that the officers went throughout the camp, and they commanded the people When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set up from where you are and follow it. However, there shall be a distance between you and it of about 200 cubits, that's 3,000 feet by measurement. Do not come near it so that you may be able to see the ark and know the way you are to go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves for his purpose, for tomorrow the Lord will do miracles among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over the river ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went on ahead of the people. The Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify and exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that just as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. You shall command the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you, leading the way into the Jordan. So now take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, come to rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan flowing down from above will be cut off, and they will stand in one mass of water. So when the people set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, with the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who were carrying the Ark came up to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were submerged at the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all of its banks throughout the time of harvest, the waters which were flowing down from above stopped, and rose up in one mass a great distance away, at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. Those waters flowing down towards the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed the river opposite Jericho. And while all the people of Israel crossed over on dry ground, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan riverbed until all the nation had finished crossing over the Jordan. We just thank the Lord for his precious word. Now, just a few interesting points to note, starting at Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. It says that Joshua and the children of Israel set out from a place called Shittim, S-H-I-T-T-I-M. This literally means, in the Hebrew, acacia trees or thorn trees, most likely symbolic of Israel leaving the arid desert land or the wilderness and crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land with the expectation of a better life and future. In much the same way that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, remember he had a crown of thorns placed on his head, and he passed through a terrible death into life, enabling us to be born again and leaving our sinful past behind and becoming a new person in Christ. One can see the symbolism of the wilderness. We can look at it as if it's the old nature, the sinful nature, being replaced with the new nature in Christ. We know that this is a process of ongoing sanctification, of becoming more like Christ, but the born-again experience is what baptism is all about. It is a symbol, a prophetic action, speaking of the time when we come out of the old system, when we are born again out of the old system, we die to the sin of the world, our sinful nature, and we become alive in Christ. Our spirit man becomes born again, becomes connected to Christ. We are washed in the blood and we become a new creature. That is the symbolism of what takes place in water baptism. And we can see the symbolism of when Israel left Shittim, they moved through, they had the miraculous experience of the parting, the crossing of the Jordan River, and they went in to the promised new land. And the new land, the promised inheritance for us, is the inheritance which Jesus Christ bought for each one of us as born again believers, that which rightfully belongs to us in Christ. So this ceremony of baptism, it symbolizes the born again experience, where we have the good news of a future and a hope and a rich inheritance in Christ and a great destiny to fulfill in Him. And verse 2 there, it mentions that at the end of 3 days, the officers then went throughout the camp. And the number 3 is very symbolic. It is, remember, Jesus died and He rose again within 3 days. And it is an important number which represents wholeness, completeness. So Jesus died to make us whole people when He said, "It is finished." And that wholeness, that is a process of us becoming more like Christ. It's becoming healed and whole in our bodies, our souls, and our spirits. And but when Jesus died and He said, "It is finished," He died to make us whole. Isn't that wonderful news? Now, the Ark of the Covenant, it's mentioned here several times in this portion of Scripture in Joshua chapter 3. The Ark of the Covenant was carried by the priests and represented the presence of God. It was a chest made of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. It held the tablets engraved with the Ten Commandments, a pot of manna, and Aaron's rod. It was to remind the children of Israel of the miraculous signs and wonders that took place in the wilderness, and it was also to remind them of the presence of Almighty God in their midst. And now, going back to this whole ceremony of water baptism, most of us are familiar with the baptism of Jesus, and that is found in Matthew chapter 3. We don't have to turn there now, but I'm sure we are all aware of the beautiful story of where the dove descended upon Jesus, Yeshua, when He was being baptized. And that dove represented the Spirit of the living God. When the God the Father, He spoke to His Son and He said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That was the wonderful baptism experience that Jesus, when He was baptized by John the Baptist, He baptized Him in full immersion. Jesus went under the waters and He came up again, representative again of the death, His death and His resurrection. And when we go through the waters of baptism, there again, it's symbolic of us dying to the old nature, coming up out of the waters and coming alive in Christ. So in much the same way, the Ark of the Covenant was the place where God manifested His presence, so much so that as soon as the soles of the priests who were carrying the Ark, when their feet touched, the soles of their feet touched the overflowing banks of the Jordan River, the waters miraculously parted, leaving a pathway for the people to cross over into the land which God had so richly promised them. And Joshua had prepared, as the leader had prepared the people of Israel beforehand, by saying in verse 5, he said, "Sanctify yourselves in preparation for the miraculous wonders which you are about to experience, which will take place." But he also said in verse 10, he said, "Listen to the words of the Lord God." He said, "Be obedient, and He will without fail drive out all your enemies." Now, in a similar way, the passing through the waters of water baptism, when a believer in Christ passes through the water baptism, and I remember this very much so when I, in my personal experience of water baptism, where the presence of God touches one in a very special way, just bringing a sense of renewal, of cleansing. I was 15 years old at the time when I was water baptized, and it was a heavenly experience where one is just touched by God in such a special and a beautiful and a unique way. And it is a prophetic action which empowers us as believers against the deceptive schemes of the enemy. You know, it is said that Satanists can identify those believers who have been fully water baptized in full water immersion and those who have not. They can actually see. I've heard people say that obviously ex-Satanists who have then become born-again believers have said that they can actually see those believers who have been water baptized. They are sealed. We are sealed when we are water baptized. It's a sign of the covenant that God has with us. In a similar way that Israel was identified by God through the rite of circumcision, which set them apart as God's chosen people, that if you read on in Joshua chapter 4, it talks about the covenant, the people that were circumcised, and they were that was a sign of God's covenant. They were now his own chosen people, and he was with them, and he was for them. And please note that the ceremony of water baptism is not a ticket, however, to get to heaven. Only the born-again experience is a ticket to get to heaven. We must remember that. Being water baptized does not get one to heaven. Only the born-again experience, when we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as found in Romans 10, 9 and 10, when we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we accept him, allow his blood to cleanse us and wash us and make us a new person in Christ, that is the only requirement, ticket that gets us to heaven, when you make him Lord and Savior and ask him to forgive us for all our sins and we become righteous in right standing with him. But water baptism is an empowerment. It is a weapon that can be used against the enemy. For example, when he tries to put guilt and condemnation on us as God's people, he is the accuser of the brethren. He loves to accuse God's people and condemn. And one can use this experience of water baptism as a reminder to him that we have passed through the waters of baptism, symbolic of the old man being buried with Christ and raised up into a newness, and that we are seated in heavenly places with him, ruling and reigning with Christ in authority with him. And we can use this as a weapon against the enemy when he comes with his deceptions, with his lies, with his vain imaginations. And we can pull those things down and say, devil, I am a blood-bought child of the living God. Obviously, if one has done something wrong, one must make sure that we have asked God to forgive us and put right with anybody else. If there's reconciliation or unforgiveness or anything like that, obviously we must make right. But when the enemy comes with his lies and his deceptions and accusing the brethren, that is, we can just say, devil, just leave me alone. I'm a blood-bought child of the living God and I'm in right standing with him. And so we can use this wonderful prophetic a ceremony, this wonderful experience of baptism, we can use against the devil and his wiles, and we can tell him to leave us as children of the one and only true living God. And I just want to give some beautiful examples of baptisms, just to inspire, to encourage those of you maybe who are listening to this audio who have not yet been baptized, or to encourage people to help others to get baptized and to make this wonderful step of obedience, because it is a command from the Lord. There are many scriptures relating to this, which I'm not going to go into now, but I'm going to just give some beautiful illustrations of people, of baptisms that I know about, that are so inspiring and that I pray that will really be an encouragement in regard to water baptism. My mother, for example, she was baptized in her latter years, but being a lady of rather slight stature, she made a decision out of her love for Jesus to get baptized in a swimming pool in the middle of winter, in her eagerness to obey the Lord, when she saw in the Word of God that baptism was a command and she wanted to obey God, she decided, irrespective of whether that water was cold or not, she said, in the middle of winter, I am going to get baptized. And being a, a rather delicate person and not very robust physically, she, to say the least, she braved the icy waters of baptism in a swimming pool in wintertime and was wonderfully blessed as a result. And what a radiant, beautiful woman of God she was. She's since graduated and gone to be with the Lord, but what a wonderful woman of God she was. And she might have been slim in stature, but strong in spirit. And I just wanted to use her as an example of someone who got baptized and had courage to do it, irrespective of the cold, icy waters, as it were. And then I just wanted to also share that I taught the Foundations course, which is, this course was written up by Graham, and it was a course put together to help disciple people. And I taught this Foundations course, which had the whole all the scriptures relating to baptism, to an elderly lady who wanted to get baptized after she had seen all the relevant scriptures. She'd seen the truth. She had seen it for herself. She had seen the fact that it was, she needed to be, she'd come out of a conservative, reformed background, and she had seen that that was what she had known from her religious upbringing. But she saw in the Word for herself, she saw that she needed to get fully immersed. She needed to be actually baptized in full water immersion, even though she had been so-called baptized as a baby. She realized that this wasn't what was found in the Word of God. And what was amazing about this lady's testimony was she was elderly and she was also physically disabled. She was not well, and she was a heavy woman, and she was not able to walk properly. She was limited physically. And so for her to be water baptized, it was a very difficult choice that she had to make. It wasn't easy because of her physical disabilities. She was crippled and she couldn't get around properly. She could walk only very slowly. And, but the day arrived when she made a quality decision and she said, I want to go through with this water baptism. And what, it was so wonderful to see the courage of this lady, despite the obstacles that she faced. And it was such a memorable occasion when Graham arranged for two men to come and help him move her and to move her physically down into the waters of the swimming pool. And she was gloriously baptized that day as a result. What a precious experience it was to see this woman. Despite her physical disabilities, she was wanting to honor and to please God because she saw the importance of water baptism. And she was touched by the presence of God that day in the swimming pool. It was such a blessing to see a woman like this, despite her circumstances, obey the word of God. And the presence of the Lord just met her in her time of need in a special way. Another touching baptism which took place was with another elderly lady who had cancer. And I'm just mentioning these people because to me they just speak of situations that were not easy, where people had pain, they were in difficult circumstances, they were elderly, and yet they made these decisions to just glorify God. And after this particular lady, she and I spent time together, and I went through the Foundations course teachings with her, discipled her, and she also made a decision to get baptized despite her physical difficulties. Now, this time she chose to get baptized in the bath, and it was a step of obedience for her because she was weak. And in her weakened state, I remember even having to help her get dressed afterwards. But it was her courage that enabled her to make the right choice. And the Lord met her in her time of need, and he touched her with his presence. And I remember after she had been baptized, when Graham asked her, when, you know, the church gathered around, and Graham asked her to testify the reason why she had wanted to get baptized. And her words were, if my master was baptized, then I should be too. And this lady in particular was also from a conservative background, where she'd grown up being sprinkled as a child, and she was from a Lutheran background, but she made the choice when she saw it for herself in the Word, when the Word of God, when she saw the truth for herself that she needed to be water baptized by full immersion. She went through, she carried it through, and the Spirit of God touched her and healed her in her spirit man. And there have been examples. There's Graham was actually sharing with me last night of a pastor friend of ours who had baptized a girl who had been demon possessed, and she was set free when she was water baptized. She was set free from the demonic act. The demon started to manifest when she went through the waters of baptism. So God can do anything in these situations. He works with everybody uniquely in different ways. His heart is for wholeness. He wants to see people whole. People go through a process. All of us go through a process of sanctification, becoming more and more whole in Him, in Christ. But one of the steps towards that is to make sure that we are water baptized. It is a process, a step in our journey towards wholeness. And another story that I just want to mention is a testimony. I'm sure many people have read this wonderful book called I Dared to Call Him Father. It's a story that I find so exciting, miraculous story of a Muslim woman's encounter with the one and only true living God, with Jesus Christ, Yeshua, a woman who literally risked her life by becoming a radical believer in Christ. Her name was Bilqi Sheikh. I hope I've pronounced her name, Bilquis, Bilqi Sheikh. She was known for her high profile. She's since passed on to be with the Lord, but she was known for her high profile conversion to Christianity from being a Muslim. And in this book, I Dared to Call Him Father, she describes how she eventually baptized herself in her bath in her eagerness to obey God's word. Since the local missionary church organization to whom she was connected in Pakistan, it was a missionary organization with people who were a real blessing to her, but they did not believe in full water immersion. And she saw it in the Word of God, and she wouldn't take that for an answer. She went to what she thought was going to be, and she describes this in her book, she went to what she thought was going to be an actual baptism ceremony where she was going to be water baptized in, you know, fully immersed in water. And when she got there, she said, well, where's the bath? How am I going to get baptized? And they said, oh no, we're going to sprinkle you. And so she thought, well, this is not, she graciously, you know, respected the people, but then decided afterwards, no, this is not the truth. I cannot go with what these people are teaching. And so she courageously went in her desire to please the Lord. She went and she baptized herself in the bath. She said, well, Lord, I've got no one else to baptize me because nobody believes what you've actually said in your word and what you've written in your love letter from heaven. And so I'm going to have to do it myself. And so she baptized herself in accordance with the truth of what she saw, what God had actually said, because the truth is what God thinks, not what anybody else thinks, but what God says and what He thinks. It's what His opinion that counts after all. And so she did it in accordance with, in her great desire to please the Lord, she baptized herself because the authority structure there, and we should be in accordance with our local church bodies. We should make sure that we come under the local church, the local authorities that God has ordained there. It's important to make sure that baptisms take place under that authority structure. Even Jesus himself, he adhered to the local authority structure, who was John the Baptist. John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and John himself said, how on earth can I baptize you? My Lord and Savior, as it were. He was horrified. He didn't want to, but Jesus said, it's important that I do this in order to obey all righteousness. In other words, to be in right standing with God. So if Jesus had to go through the waters of baptism, how much more should we as believers in him, as this dear lady said in her testimony, the one I described, she said, I just want to remind us of that again. Her words were, her name was Edda, and the other lady that I mentioned earlier was Yvonne, the one who got the two that actually did the foundations courses with. Wonderful woman of God. But I mean, Edda said, she said, if my master had to be baptized, then how much more should I be? And isn't that so true? So each person's story is absolutely unique, and God works with us all uniquely. But please, if you are listening to this audio and have not yet been baptized, or know of others who have not yet been baptized, I sincerely hope that these thoughts and these scriptures that we've looked at today will inspire you to do exactly that, and to help others to get baptized, so that we can all together fulfill the Great Commission to get people baptized. And then I just wanted to mention, you know, as we've looked at these scriptures, as we've looked at shared, as I've shared some of these testimonies of people's beautiful experiences, of which I know that there are many, many wonderful experiences where people have even been healed through baptisms. The important thing is to note here that even as Israel had that expectation where Joshua said, sanctify yourself in preparation for what the miracles that the Lord is going to do the next day. That is the miracles I see, the supernatural manifestations of God when people go through the waters of baptism. God manifests himself in such beautiful ways, in such unique ways, and miracles take place in different ways in accordance with where that person is at, and how the Lord touches people so personally and in such a loving and beautiful and awesome way, because that's the God that we serve. He's a loving God. He's a God who loves us unconditionally, and he wants the very best for each one of us. So I just pray a blessing upon each and every person today, and we just say thank you, Lord, for your precious word, for your truth that you have given to us to bring transformation and to make us more like you. Amen.